Well, he's my king tonight. Oh, blessed be your holy name. I'll tell you, I love him. And we sing about someday we'll go where Jesus is. And over the weekend, Brother Smith was talking, telling us that Jesus said, where I am, there you may be also. And he was letting us know where Jesus was, you know, that relationship that Jesus had with God. And I was thinking, singing that song, you know, I know that whoever wrote that, they was probably talking more futuristic as far as going where Jesus is. But you know what, the message in that is that we can get close to him now. You know, I like the by and by, you know, the things that's going to be going on there. But we're here today, and we can get close to Jesus today. You know, we can have that kind of relationship. That's what Jesus was encouraging his disciples, is that where I am, you know, with the Lord, with God right now, you can be there also. And I think he's still wanting us to do that. I think God is still reaching out to us to where we can have that kind of relationship with God, that we can get close to enough, you know, to where the things that could hinder us or could bother us, they won't bother us anymore. You know, I mean, we can have that kind of relationship. I'm thankful that we have that opportunity, that those kind of thoughts and the even belief, you know, that among this people, that not only, you know, I'm reading the Bible, and it's this man that's coming, the commentary that go along with it, you know, I could tell from listening to him, you know, he kind of once saved, always saved kind of thoughts. But you know, we know we're not, we know this is a process, and it's a progressive way. And it's like Brother Smith was giving us some points about developing. We have to develop this relationship with the Lord. We have to work on it. You know, even tonight coming out here, in these songs, you know, you have to put forth an effort. You have to begin to praise the Lord, and when you do that, it makes it a little bit easier. I tell you what, you can feel God. You know, when you begin to reach out and praise, even in a service like tonight, we begin to let the Lord know, God, we appreciate what you've done, doing for us. And we love you. We want to praise you more and more. And when you begin to start lifting up your voice, you know, our voice and ourselves in worship and praise to God, it does something for us. It does something to you. I mean, it's a great help to be able to let yourself go in worship and praise to God, because he's worthy, you know, of all. The Bible said he's worthy of all praise that we can give him. He's worthy because he's done, he's given us this opportunity, the plan of salvation, that we can begin to turn our lives around. You know, I've seen people, you know, get their lives turned around. We see that where God has done something for them. And when God began to touch, you know, his people, began to touch your lives and began to make a difference, and then began to, you know, give us an opportunity to put forth the effort that we can put forth. We can't do it all, but we can put forth an effort. We can let the Lord know how much we love him and how much we appreciate what he's doing for us, and letting us see, you know, Jesus was the light of this. He is the light of the world. And when he began, he was talking to his disciples and telling them, you know, that, you know, in the night or in the darkness, you know, you stumble, you know, you don't walk very good. But when you have light, and I think, you know, not just light, the light that visually see with your natural eyes, but light of seeing what God is doing, you know, seeing God work with people and seeing a better understanding about, you know, I think about his disciples, how they, down to the very week, you know, that Jesus was crucified, a lot of the things that they weren't understanding. He knew that they weren't understanding, but he was trying to help them. He would throw a little tidbit in every now and then to let them know that, you know, this is, you know, I'm headed to the cross. You know, he didn't say that, but anyway, he was putting some things in their mind to let them know that, you know. Then Peter, you know, some of the remarks he made, he felt like he'd go with the Lord all the way, you know what, you know, even in death. But he knew, Jesus knew he couldn't do that. But anyway, Jesus understood that, and he was trying to help them as much as he could, but he knew where he was headed. And I appreciate being around people that help us to see better, to see what the Lord is doing, and to realize that, you know, unless God do something for you, unless God touch your eyes, you know, we won't be able to see what he's doing. We won't be able to comprehend the things of God like he had like for us to, you know. I mean, it takes God, and we have to acknowledge that and then begin to work in that, you know, begin to do the things we need to do to help God touch us and let him show us, you know, what we need to see. And I appreciate having just being among this people that I can serve God and be able to work and labor, you know, just if you can get yourself, you know, give yourself over to the Lord to a degree. That's what I, you know, seem to think. If you can give yourself to the Lord to a degree, to where, and that's what it's going to take. You know, we're going to have to be given. You know, we're going to have to give, you know, ourselves to the Lord, and in order for the Lord to be able to work, you know, complete this work in us, you know, we're going to be totally given to the Lord, and that's what we're endeavoring to do. It's our goal is to be a people that are given. God is leading us on the way. I was talking to, who was that, with Sister Linegar's birthday party the other day, and this man was in Brother Sturgis Church, and I was talking to him, but anyway, he was talking about, you know, being led. He was, you know, kind of lifting up his pastor a little bit for how he's being led by the Lord. But that's what we are endeavoring to do, is to be a people that are led by the Lord, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to not, you know, that's what this, you know, we talk about Jesus, you know, when we think about it, it's I was thinking about that prayer that he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he, you know, he prayed in the scripture, and I think it's Luke 20, where he was, you know, prayed three times, and he was struggling. He already, you know, raised the dead and healed the sick, and he's done all those miraculous things, but he was struggling with his will, and that's what, you know, until we can be able to give our will, you know, that's what Jesus he did. I don't know, he could have prayed lots of times like he did there, but that's recorded where we read it, where he was, you know, he prayed those three times, and he finally got the victory. You know, he was kind of getting on his disciples because they kept going to sleep on him. But the third time he told them, you know, it was, sleep on. You know, he had the victory, and I can tell, you know, it wasn't just he didn't have the power to do these things, but his will. And eventually, you know, that's what God is asking of us, is to give him a will. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, to the point to where it doesn't matter. Whatever God wants, you know, that's what I like to do. I know I can say that like Peter said those words so quickly, and Jesus knew that, you know, he couldn't do what he's saying he can do. But I like to be able to have my will, you know, surrender my will to the Lord. And that's what we're endeavoring to do, is to be a people that are surrendered to the point to where our will is surrender to the Lord. So I'm thankful tonight that we are in a place of where that can be accomplished, or we can do that. That we can do that. We're among people that are striving. That's the kind of goal that we have set, is to be a people that are pleasing God and all that they do. And isn't that wonderful to be able to I'm sure it's not altogether wonderful for the flesh, but after all, you know, we're not going to live eternally in the flesh. So we want to overcome the flesh. And anyway, we're in a place where we can do that. So anyway, it's good to be here tonight, and it's good to to have an opportunity again to worship the Lord and to lift our voices in praise to God, to our Savior, and to be mindful of the things that he's done for us. So it's good to be here tonight. We're going to mention, I guess, our prayer needs.
Yes, that's good to have Brother and Sister Cipriano.
Brother and Sister Cipriano.
Yes.
Here from the Dominican Republic. It sure is a blessing to have them here with us.
Yes.
They're just fitting right in.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And Sister Curtis, I know she's here tonight, and I know it's not your mom.
Your godmother.
Okay. Yeah. Your other mother. Okay. Yeah. Good to have. And I don't want me. Do we have a card on her?
I don't know.
What's her name?
Josie.
Good to have you here. God bless you. Bless you. All right.
I wanted to mention my mother. She's in the hospital, and we really felt like she was going to pass away last night. She aspirated twice yesterday evening, and then she just started going. You know, she never could get all that out of her lungs, and they got her in the hospital, but they still hadn't got it out of her right lung, and she just really went downhill. Made it through the night, and she's improved a little bit today, so you know, we just have to see how it goes. My brother and his wife's up, so we can be in church tonight. She's in Celine Memorial in room 512. I don't know that she would recognize any of you, though. I mean, she's completely out of it. She can't even talk right now. It's just too weak. But you're welcome to go see her. I mean, it wouldn't disturb anything. Sister Stewart, I'm sure Brother Stewart might mention, she's sick tonight. And Michael is sick. He's been coughing. He's had this quite a while, but just felt like he'd be so disrupting of the service, so he didn't stay home in bed. And then Sister Bryant's still in Celine Memorial. And she's recovering from her operation. Good report on that. And then Elsie, Sister Elsie, got her report on her body, on her scan. And none of her cancer has spread. None of it's any larger. And some of the lesions on her lymph nodes, particularly one, is even smaller. So that was a really good report. They're rejoicing over that.
Praise the Lord.
Anyway, and then Sister Pat really needs our prayers. And Brother Crow, let's keep praying for Brother Crow. And I don't know if he's went home yet or not. I don't think so. Has he? You know, Sister Ann? Okay.
This weekend?
The end of the week is what they're thinking.
He's doing better.
That's the last report I got. But anyway, but we want to keep them in our prayers.
Yes.
And then who else? I'm sure you all have prayer requests.
Keep praying for me.
All right, Brother Durham. So they've moved it up. Oh, December the 4th is to have his other surgery if the Lord don't. When are you going to go back in for your CTA again? Okay. All right. Let's keep that in our prayers.
Keep praying for Brother Doom. God can touch him. Sister Linda. and Sister Lynn, Sister Abraham. Abraham, daughter Michelle. All right, Philip. Philip. All right, Sister Hannah and Chelsea. Okay. All right. Any other? Sister Ann. Yes, Brother McGowan. Remember him. He hurt his back. Pray for him. Sister Rachel. Your mom. Okay. Remember Sister... Just to get in there. Remember Jacob tonight, and also Brother Daniel Unspoken. Sister Lace. Sister Joe. All right. The job situation. Okay. Remember that. Brother Jerry, yes. Yes. Mm. All right. Okay. Pray for Sister Sandy and her sister. Lily May. Okay. Remember them and pray that God will help her. All right. Yes, sir. Sister Jenny. Brother Mike Crafton's mother. Jenny. Sister Jenny Crafton. All right. All right. Any other requests? So if not, let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will touch his people. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, having this time, Lord, this opportunity to reach out to you, Lord. We thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Pray that you touch it.
Hallelujah.
Our need tonight, Sister Ramos. Lord, pray that you touch it. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed Lord, precious Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Precious Savior, precious
Savior.
Oh, hallelujah.
La iglesia del cuerpo, el cuerpo de Cristo está en tu ministerio. Oh, bendice tu nombre, exalta tu nombre.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Depended on, he can be trusted. In
my friend in need, even when I'm not in need, he's my guiding light. Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm happy that we have a place to come and worship the Lord. It's a privilege to be in the house of God, and it's a privilege that few people have. There's a lot of people, even in this city, that they don't have an appreciation for what God has. For what God has for His people, so much so that they'll even mock. And Brother Jaron, I think this pulpit mic is on. Thank you. So much so that they'll even mock and ridicule the saints of God for their simplicity. For us to go to church on a regular basis, seems foolish to people. It seems like a waste of time to them. And one time, we was at a family get-together, and one of our family members said, "Well, y'all go to church a lot. You must be really bad to have to go to church so much." So, well, if you only knew. If you only knew just how bad we are. But, you know, we don't always go to church because we're bad. That's, you know, it's part of it. We're looking for redemption, no doubt. We're looking for salvation and deliverance from sickness, from sin, from death. But we're also looking for peace of mind and joy. I was visiting with a man the other day, and he's claimed to be an atheist, although he's got quite a religious background. And he said that he told me, "My sphere of fellowship is essentially you guys here, the guys in the office. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have any place to, he doesn't have any community. Moved here from out of state, doesn't have any family." And I thought, what a lonely life that would be. How miserable could you be to wake up on a Sunday morning and not have any place to be, not have any friends to see, not have anyone to spend the day with other than, you know, just you and your wife. And, of course, you know, some people, they can't be entreated. They refuse to be entreated. They have no desire to go to church. They have no desire to think outside their own selves. You know, when their focus is on themselves. And that's why I tell people, I remember I told a girl I work with back home at Walmart. She was in conflict. Her husband was one faith, and she was another faith, and they had kids, and they were trying to find a church. And I told her, I said, "Well, my advice to you would be to find a church to work in, but don't necessarily think that it has to satisfy you or your husband." I said, "Because what you need to do is you need to find something where your children can find the love of God in their life." Oftentimes what happens in a home is when mom and dad don't take their children to church, then mom and dad are the consummate when it comes to morality. They're the only example that the children see. And, you know, people act different in home than they do in public. There's no doubt about that. And then, you know, at home there's circumstances and stresses and frustrations that come your way, and your spirit gets riled. And that's not to say that these things don't happen out in public, but when children, all they see at home is, let me rephrase that, children will see the worst at home typically than they would somewhere else. Well, they may think that that's just normal, that people just act like that everywhere. But you know, I'll tell you this, when we met the body of Christ and started going in to church, and I got to meet some of the older saints, and I didn't have grandparents, Brother Daniels, that, you know, were involved in my life. And so when I went to the church there and got to meet some of the older saints and got to be acquainted with them and be around them, wow, I saw people that were acting and behaving in a way that it impressed me. It left an impression upon me that I thought, wow. You know, people do, you know, behave differently than mom and dad. And so I told this lady, I said, you know, more importantly, you need to focus on putting your children in an environment where they can see more than just mom and dad, where they can see God's people working together, laboring together, loving each other, working out their differences, and let God's people be an example to your children. And so, you know, the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And that's really, it's really a crucial part of our relationship with Christ, is our relationship with each other. And I read an article just the other day about this lady. It was a blog that she had written about compliments and flattery. And I'll describe myself, and if this describes you, good. I want to provoke you to love and good works with what I'm about to say. Typically for me, I'm the kind of person that I won't say it unless I can back it up. You know, if I can't prove it, typically, I typically won't say something. But, you know, every now and then it's nice to hear, well, you did great. Well, how do you define greatness? Or like the other day, my son and I were together and he conquered this hill and I said, you did awesome. You know, that was a compliment that I passed. It wasn't flattery. There was no deceit in it. There wasn't any guile or I wasn't trying to mislead him at all. It was just simply a word of encouragement. And this lady, she in this article, she was talking about how that, and it does. It's not necessarily spiritual, but it just left an impression on me that we've lost the art of paying each other compliments. Oftentimes, we're, you know, if I tell somebody they've done, you know, just a fantastic job, well, how do I define fantastic? Am I just being flattering with my words? Am I just being careless with the way I define things by paying somebody? Well, you look nice today, or you know, of course, you know, if my wife ever asks me, how do I look? You know, what are you supposed to say? You know, you can't lie. Well, you look great, honey. You know, it's a catch-22, isn't it? But I'll tell you this: if there was a hair out of place, or something, if my tie didn't match my suit, trust me, she would tell me. She would tell me, and she'd still tell me that she loved me, but if something was out of place, and I wouldn't get my feelings hurt most of the time. And then she's the same way, you know. But the thing about it is, I think, and I hope he doesn't get embarrassed by this, but Brother Brad is great at making you feel good about yourself. And, it really... It's almost an art, and I don't mean to. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Brother Brett. I'm not sorry for paying you this compliment. You are great at that, and I appreciate it. It really is. It's an art. It seems like it comes easier for some than it does for others, and so for me, I have a deficiency in how I communicate. But you know, I was thinking about. I was reading over in 1 Thessalonians where Paul, he mentioned the word flattering when he was dealing, I think that's in 1 Thessalonians 2, I think is where that's at. Just start here that in the in the second, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Well, let's just go back to 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. He said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." He said, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and of our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye have known what manner of men we were among you for your sake." And then he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia." So he's really building them up. He's telling them that you've received this and you've become examples. He's letting them know that they're important to him. And he said that without ceasing, we've been praying, remembering y'all without ceasing. He's letting these people know that they mean something to him. And then over in the second chapter, he said, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." It's a difficult situation, he says there, but we were still bold to speak this, "for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth," or he could have said knoweth or understandeth, "but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness," or "God is witness. Not of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, that we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And so I was reading that, you know, I was thinking about this word flattery and you know, flattering lips, and that verse there, that next verse, the seventh verse, "but even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And I was thinking about how I relate with my son, my daughters. I have a brother-in-law. He doesn't know this, and the next time I see him, I'll tell him. But one of the best things that he ever did for me as a young person, he didn't do it for me, but he did it for my sisters. Every time he would see my sisters, he would always say something like, "Hello, beautiful," or "Hey, good looking," or, you know, he would always, you know, these young, impressionable teenage girls that were struggling with, you know, whatever elements in their life that they had, he was always generous with the way he complimented them. He would build their esteem up, and he would make them feel good about who they are. And that always left an impression on me. I thought that was one thing that I always just admired about him, is he made other people feel better about themselves. And isn't that true? Isn't that how we relate to our children? We want to encourage them. We want to build their confidence. We want them to be strong in the faith and in their confidence, be self-confident, know that they can handle whatever trial or test that they've got, whether it's something in their schoolwork or it's something that they're trying to learn how to do, whether it's learn how to play an instrument or work something around the house. We want them to be encouraged and embrace that challenge with confidence. And so what do? We say things like, "You're doing great," or "That was awesome," or thank you for the good job that you... We use words that that help edify them. And of course, that's our calling here is we're to edify one another. We're to provoke each other to love and good works. Hallelujah. Well, how do we do that? It's not with payment of money. It's not with the threat of force. It's not with a deceitfulness or guile. But it's how we talk to each other. It's how we express our love and our concern and our genuine interest in each other. Praise God. And so that's my heart's desire tonight is to see us all feel lifted up in this calling that God has brought upon our lives, that we're a part of this church. The Lord has brought us here, and He's laid this burden upon our shoulders. Praise God. And it's going to get heavy. This weight that you feel tonight, that you may feel tonight, it's real. It's not make-believe. It's not something that just comes and goes. It's the burden that the Lord has laid upon us, that we're to be a shining light. Thank God, a lighthouse in a dark city, if you will. And so as we gather together, as the Bible says, as we've assembled here together as God's people, as we try to come together in unity, as Paul said in Ephesians 4, until we're trying to come together in the unity of the Spirit, until we come together in the unity of the faith, as we've gathered here tonight, praise God, let's consider the needs of one another, the person sitting beside you, the person sitting in front of you or behind you. Let's consider the ability, the gift that we have to edify, to lift up. The Bible says that that we're not to withhold the good when it's within our power. You have power tonight. You have power tonight. Praise God. You have power tonight to help somebody. You have power tonight. And all it simply takes is just a spoken word. Hallelujah. Just a word of love and encouragement and concern. Hallelujah. You've got power tonight. Praise God, to edify your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. That's why He said that we're saved by the word of our testimony. Praise God. Your testimony tonight will edify your brother and sister sitting beside you. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Yes, this burden that we feel is real. Yes, this weight that we feel upon our shoulders is real. But thank God, God wouldn't put upon us a weight or a trial or test. He wouldn't put it upon us if we weren't strong enough to bear it. And the Bible says that He'll give us the strength. He'll make a way for us, and He will. He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. Here we are, just what we consider, we think of ourselves as just a little handful of people in Little Rock, Arkansas. And it won't be just a few weeks that the eyes of God's people will descend upon this little bitty, what we, you know, at times consider ourselves to be, just a little bitty assembly. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord's going to give us strength. The Lord will give us what we need, the ability, the power, the endurance, the strength to serve His people. The Lord will provide. I believe that tonight. I have confidence in Him tonight. I hope you do. If you don't, share my confidence. Thank God. We know we can bear up under this load, Brother Durham, and what we don't have, the Lord will provide. Praise God. He will. He'll send somebody along to help us carry the load. He'll send somebody along to help us pay the bill. He'll send somebody along to they may not be doing our job, but they may give us an encouraging word. They may deposit something in our life that just help us go another step. The Bible says that if your brother asks you to walk a mile, walk with him too. If he asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. We're to be generous with our love. I really think that the generosity that charity brings, I think to me that's probably the for me, is one of the greatest mysteries. Because the Bible says, charity seeketh not her own and is kind. It could also say that charity seeks the wealth of others. And Paul said that we're to seek each other's wealth. And I think that the generosity that charity brings to a church is probably one of the greatest strengths that we can tap into. And it's what provokes us to give. It's what provokes us to share. You know, it's amazing to me when people, they receive songs or poems or dreams, and their willingness to stand behind a microphone and share it. They didn't have to. They don't have to do that. But there's a generosity. There's a desire that, hey, God gave this for me, and I'm sharing it with you. Praise God. I think really that the strength that we have, one of the strengths, instead of trying to narrow it down, I think one of the strengths that we have as a people is our generosity with each other. Our willingness to give, to be easily entreated, to just trust that somebody may defraud us. Somebody may actually take advantage of us, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay. God sees it. God knows. You can't outgive God. If you give, you know, Brother Merle used to say, it's like dipping a bucket out of the ocean. If you go back to the well to get it, there'll be more for you. And you know, it amazes me. It amazes me that there's some people that don't run out of love. They really don't. There's some people, and I don't understand it. I pray that I'll learn it. Brother Smith, I don't understand it. I don't understand how a pastor at times, and it's just my heart, I don't understand how a pastor can't run out of love sometimes. That you know, people perhaps take advantage of you or walk over you but... Maybe. Do I need to sit down? But you know, and I see that with my children. We invest a lot in each other. We invest in each other. But Cipriano, I'm investing in you, my brother.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise God.
I'm investing in you, but I'm not expecting. I'm giving without expecting return. That I'm giving as unto the Lord. That's the way we should do it. And you know, there's no respect of persons with charity. There's no there's no selfishness or vanity in charity. There's no this is mine. You know, you've heard that saying, my name's Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. You've heard somebody say it. You know, the M in the middle of the hand is for mine. There's no, Brother Matt, would you run that video board, please? Oh, sorry. We got it. Thank you. There's no respect of persons. There's no withholding. We just give generously. And I look at a mother. You know, somebody said, well, they got a face only a mother can love. I've heard that before, have you? Well, somebody's told it to me once. Well, you know, I don't get it too often, but I hope you don't, never mind. But how does a mother just love and love and love? How does a father love unconditionally? I'm learning, Brother Durham. I've got a lot invested in my children like you do yours. I was thinking tonight as we kneel to pray, it's getting easier. It's getting easier for me to pray longer for my children. So maybe y'all can help me with that. I feel like praying longer for them. Maybe because they're getting outside of my sphere of influence. Maybe because they're developing their own minds and their own independence and their own, which is great. I want them to do that. My love for them, though, it just seems like it grows and grows and grows and grows. Aren't we blessed tonight? Aren't we blessed tonight to be in this congregation? You feel that weight. I know you do. I know you feel it. But be encouraged tonight. The Lord is with us. The Lord is going to provide for us. He's going to make room for all of us. We don't have to leave anybody out. You don't have to feel left out. There's room for all. There's room for all, praise God. And so tonight I just wanted to bare my heart. I feel like the Lord is helping us. I feel encouraged. I feel joyful. I've traveled with Brother Brett many times and been amazed by it. I take lessons from him, and I use some of the things. Brother Michael's real good at that too. It just make you feel good about yourself. Just make you feel like that you're a part, that you're involved, that you matter. And so I'm working on that. I want to be generous with my compliments. But then also something else that I read in relationship to that, which reminded me of Sister Weiniger, is, did she say, uh-oh? She did. Now, what does Sister Weiniger always say when you say something to her? Very good. Very good. Very good. You know, Sister Weiniger, I say that on the job. I do. I appreciate you doing that because it's helped me a lot. Very good. You know, sometimes somebody pays you a compliment. I'm humiliated by it. I say that honestly. It humiliates me. I don't know how to receive compliments sometimes. I feel like sometimes they're undeserved. And so I read this. I said, you know, sometimes when someone pays you a compliment, I tell my children this and try to wrap this up. I tell my children this. I grew up, I don't mean to negatively reflect upon my parents in the household that I grew up on, but sometimes it's just the dirty truth. And I grew up in a home where I was the next to youngest of 11, and there was 5, 6, 7, 8 kids sometimes in the house. And I grew up in a home, and I didn't know how to comb my hair, how to present myself, and so. I didn't get a lot of compliments. I just didn't. I didn't say, oh, people didn't tell me you look nice today. They didn't do that for me. I didn't go places and people would say, oh, you look great. They didn't do that for me. And so, you know, my kids, we've tried to keep them clean, their hair combed, stuff like that. And I've told them, I said, when the people pay you a compliment, don't just take it for granted. Say thank you. And, let them know that you appreciate what they've said to you. I'm fallible. Brother Jaron, I apologize. I thought you had stepped to the restroom. I couldn't see you behind that monitor. And here's the thing is, We often run on a skeleton crew, and I'm up here, and he's manning the fort. He's doing the job of two men. Now that I admire that, and he does a great job. I So I'm sorry if I embarrassed Brother Jaron. I wouldn't do that to anybody intentionally. And so, and I've got a great crew that I get to work with in the media booth. You guys, when I tell you they're great, I'm telling you they're great because they are great. They're awesome. Thank you, Brother Durham. And so anyway, I tell them, I said, when someone pays you a compliment, be sure to say thank you. Don't just say, yeah, I hear that all the time. You know, like it's just, you know, just like it's deserved, because it's not deserved. Compliments are not deserved. They're given out of somebody's gracious generosity. They're just being generous with their love. And so I read this thing this lady said. She said, if someone pays you a compliment and you're just embarrassed by it and you don't know what to say, say that was a very kind thing for you to say. And I can just hear Sister Weinger saying that. Well, that was very kind of you to say. Can't you hear her saying that? Well, that was just a very kind thing for you to say. I met a lady that reminded me of Sister Weiniger just the other day. And what I'm about to say, I'm embarrassed now. I hope you don't think, well, if you think less of me, you're probably rightfully so. Anyway, I stopped at this gas station to get some fuel. And this little lady come out, and it was a gas station. It was not, their pumps weren't current, and so the price on the pump was half of what it was supposed to be, and it was just one of them. It was an old-timey gas station. Well, she takes my money. I pay her, and I said, it was $14.05. It was motorcycle fuel. I have been one of those people, and I probably will do it sometime in the future, where all I had was $14.05 to put in the gas tank. You know what I mean? Like three gallons a day and 3 gallons. I've been there, so I don't mean to make light of that. But anyway, I said, just bring me back a five and keep the change. And because I gave her a 20. And I regret now. I wish I had just given the whole 20. But she gives me the 5 and the 95 cents. She starts counting it back to me. And I give it back. I just say, here, this is for you. You know, like I'm a big tipper. And she, but you know what? She said, well, that's just mighty nice of you. She just, big, small, it didn't matter to her at all. She just received it graciously. And so sometimes, that's the other side of the coin. That's what I want to do, is I want to learn how to receive that same generosity. I want to receive it with grace and gentleness and easy to be entreated, and not just be frustrated and it's easy to do. And, you know, I'm sure that I have, the propensity to frustrate people. It's not intended, I promise you. And if I do receive it, you know, try to be generous with your love and your kindness, and I'll do the same. And we'll just keep working on this, and we'll keep growing and loving and cherishing. You know, the thing about it is the more you invest in somebody, the more you'll cherish them. And so what a privilege it is. I'm happy that you're here with us, you and your wife, and I'm really excited about our ministers meeting coming up. And it's a lot of work, sure it is, but I tell people, and I can honestly say this, I have received more blessings working in a meeting than I have just attending a meeting. And I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. I've been more blessed and rewarded from working in a meeting here in Little Rock than any of the meetings that I attended as a visitor. And so here we are. I'm thankful. I'm going to lay in this thing right now and let you know that I love you, and I think you're great, and awesome. And any other kind.
Hallelujah. All right, all you awesome people. Hallelujah. I did want to say I'm glad to have those that, you know, some of them aren't here that made it to Sister Leniger's 80th birthday celebration. I'm glad we were represented there. This church should have been. And I actually told Sister Robin I was coming, and then we backed out. We just worked day, and I just didn't feel, you know, I mean, I was glad others went, but I didn't feel like I should probably go and leave for the weekend. I do want to announce to you the Memphis Fellowship meeting starts tomorrow night in Memphis. I don't have the starting time, but I know it's either 7 or 7:30. So if you're going, I'd get there at 7, and if you're 30 minutes early, you'll get a better seat anyway. So I love Brother Ben Field, and, you know, I feel like he's our neighbor, and we are to support his meeting. And the church there, they always support us in our meetings. But I'm not doing it for that. I just feel like, you know, it's a regional meeting, and I want us to, as up as I can, to go. It'll be tomorrow night and Friday night and Saturday. Pray my mother is okay tomorrow, where I want to go tomorrow if I can. And we're glad to have those of you back that was gone. We had a lot of people gone over the weekend, and we missed you. We're glad to have Brother and Sister Oates back. He got to see his granddaughter that he's for the, I think, the first time, and made a good connection, he said, good report on that, and his daughter. So she's going to church now in Godfrey, so that's a good blessing. Anyway, God bless you all. Potluck, yes, Sunday dinner. Bring me something good, would you? Uh-huh. Brother Scotty York, he feels like he's got 50 to 100 bags sold out at Remington. He's been asking me every day, how big are the bags and how much is it? I said, tell him it's $2, and I don't know how much they'll get, but it'll be worth every penny. But I don't know what, I said, that price may go up or down because I don't know exactly how they're planning it. But anyway, it will. You know, peanut brittle sells easy, and it'll be a good fundraiser for the youth to go maybe to Mount Carmel Youth Meeting or wherever they go. I'd like to see them get big enough fund they could just go off, have fun, a ski trip to Colorado or somewhere, you know, wherever they'd like to go. All right, God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly.